Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. And today, we welcome Gina Carr into the Cigar Lounge. Hello, Gina. How are you today?
Well, I am just wonderful, enjoying beautiful sunny Orlando and having a wonderful day.
That's beautiful. I think a lot of us up north wish we were in Orlando today. But we will be in Orlando soon for the NSA. And I start by putting in a plug that thanks to you and Terry, we will have a nice gathering at your home before NSA starts. So Cigar Peg is looking forward to that. And we thank you.
Oh, we're delighted. We're delighted. We've hosted Cigar Peg parties many times, almost every time the event is in Orlando. So,
and I actually know that this year I'm excited because I'll actually be able to make it. Unfortunately, the last time I couldn't, I flew in a day late. So this time I cleared my schedule and I'll be able to get there. Let me start, Gina. I want to talk for a moment. I start all the interviews the same way. I just want you to tell us, what do you do? Tell me about what you're doing. What's happening right now?
Well, I am working with thought leaders who want to build their business, and I am helping them learn how to get more clarity, more visibility, to add systems and processes to their businesses, and very excitedly right now, how to use the artificial intelligence tools that have just sprung up everywhere to help do that. And so, for example, just this past week, I led a camp, an AI content creation camp, and walked people through how to prompt the systems and how to create all this fantastic, massive amount of content, sales pages, lead pages, and all those kind of things that they just did. And it's just really fun and exciting. I feel like I'm starting my business all over again because of these tools.
That's awesome. And I want you to know, I gave a lot of thought to actually having AI interview you, but I decided at the last minute, no, I decided it was going to be me. But I thought, you know, we could give it a shot. So let me ask this. Okay. So this is a new and exciting turn for you. And it's exciting for everybody, the topic, obviously, because AI is such a big one. Let me roll back the hands of time. How did you start in this business? How did Gina emerge on the speaking scene?
Yeah, that's a good question. I used to live in Atlanta.
Okay.
And in Atlanta, I was a bit of a serial entrepreneur. I started several different businesses. I started a real estate company and then a mortgage company to help people get loans to buy the houses that we were selling through the real estate company. It was a Century 21.
Okay.
And then I started a magazine to help market our services as a real estate company. It was sort of a very elaborate form of farming for folks who know the real estate term of farming.
Yep.
And I became a full-fledged, huge 100-plus page community magazine. It was very successful as a business. It was very successful for generating leads for our different advertisers. And people kept asking me, how do I do this? And so I put it into a franchise format and taught people how to create those magazines and community magazines for wherever they were. So that really exposed me to advertising for my own businesses, as well as helping our different clients. And I just love helping people grow their businesses by getting the word out about what they do. And so that just basically morphed into, when I sold that business, it morphed into consulting, doing it on my own. And I was speaking along the way to generate business. Back to your initial question,
yeah.
I've not done the traditional corporate gig speaking very much. What I've done is I speak in front of business organizations, chambers of commerce, targeted different groups, and I explain whatever it is that I'm teaching at that time and ask people if they need help. Get in touch and I'll help them out. And so that leads to a lot of business. So it's the speak and sell mode.
Sure. Well, and I was going to say, and you, from what it sounds like, your speaking model was to sell a specific service that you provided to them. It wasn't just open-ended speaking. It was a targeted speaking.
Yes.
Now, in doing that, did you, I'm just, when you were teaching people to do the magazine or emulate your model or franchise it, if you will, were you speaking in groups? Were you doing one-on-one consulting? How was that working?
Well, I spoke at franchise shows and okay. I spoke at mostly still business associations. There are a lot of people out there that owned businesses. I did speak also for real estate organizations, real estate associations, because I, being a real estate company owner, saw the benefit of owning my own magazine. And so some of the people that I targeted were also fellow real estate business owners to buy the magazine franchise.
Got it. And so you did that for a while. Did you transition into anything after that?
I really transitioned into consulting and working with people. I focused very heavily early on social media and social media measurement, social media amplification, how to get your message out into the world. And I started an agency that helps people to generate content. In the old days, we just did articles. Right. And now, of course, we do videos. And so taking those articles, getting them SEO friendly, amplifying them across the social media channels, all of sending them out via email. So the whole facilitating content creation and then the amplification. And so we do still have an agency today, and we do that for some people. But mostly I'm engaged in the coaching and the teaching of people how to do it themselves right now.
That's awesome. And by the way, I know the phrase stark raving entrepreneurs is the current business model you have. What kind of entrepreneurs are you targeting? What's your market?
Well, our market really has been thought leaders, speakers, coaches, authors, consultants. Okay. And because of my background in franchising, we are attracting some people who are franchisors. And I'm actually thinking of digging a little bit deeper into that vertical because of I know that they can really use this AI a lot. And so I'm thinking of going after that market a little bit more strongly right now.
Okay. So I guess that's one of the questions I always have in mind is what is on your, I don't know if you use a whiteboard, a vision board, a goal list, whatever you have that tells you where you're going. Is there something on that list that was not there 30 days ago that's going to become a real focus for you in the future?
That's a good question.
Well, it sounded like that's what you were talking about was that vertical.
Yeah.
That's why I asked it now. It seemed like that's where you were heading, but.
Yeah, I would say so. And this is just evolving right now.
Yeah.
To focus on the franchise world because we just did this camp. And as I was doing it, I thought of it. Oh, there are other things I'm thinking about as well because of the power of these tools is possibly creating a coaching model such that coach people in the methodology that we have for helping thought leaders. So we have a roadmap for helping thought leaders with defining their brand and then getting the word out and all of the things that they do with the marketing and pricing their offers and such. And so now that they can use the AI tools to help, I'm thinking of creating a coaching model so that we would hire coaches that work under us. And this kind of goes back to my old real estate days. I was the main rainmaker bringing in the business. And then I had agents on my team that did all the fabulous work. And I think that this is something that might be really great.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, and you have an incredible internet presence, social media and everything else. I know anyone that knows you sees you out there all the time. What would you say is your greatest I want to say social media trick. What's a great hack you can share with Cigar Peg that you have found to be useful?
I think the main thing is to ask questions. I do ask a lot of questions and I try to keep them simple. People on social media don't want, well, now that they have ChatGPT, maybe they could give a more elaborate answer. But in general, asking fairly simple questions where people can just answer in a few words and very quickly, and making it simple. And so that adds to the engagement. And then when someone responds, it's very important to then respond to them, possibly with a follow-up question or at least with a thanks and something pertinent to whatever it was that they said. That's really a great, simple, easy to implement tool.
No, that's great. Good to know. And I think people should follow that because the bottom line is if people have a pain point and you ask a simple question and hit it, you win. It's when you hit 27 pain points, they think you don't know what you're talking about. So I think that's a great piece of advice for people. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. And let me add to that, that the question should be, well, sometimes you could just ask questions about whatever your hobbies or passions are outside of business, but the business questions that you ask certainly should be, they should be in flow with whatever it is that you are wanting to offer in the next stage of what you're wanting to do. So it's not direct. For example, just recently I did a poll on LinkedIn and I said, what are you using AI to do in your business? What is the main purpose of AI in your business right now? And I gave a few choices like conducting research or writing copy or I forgot what the last one was, something like that.
Oh, now I have to ask. So what was the results of that poll? You find out?
Yeah, so far writing copy has been the number one choice. Okay. And I just launched it less than 24 hours ago. So.
Oh, okay. So it's that new. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we have some running total. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing. And I think it's good. Let me ask you, as you went through your business, starting from the time you were in real estate until today, what would you say was the biggest mistake or failure that you had, and what did you learn from it?
The biggest mistake was probably still today is, all right, I'll tell you the biggest difficulty. So it's sort of, sure. I guess, related to a mistake. In my new business, my virtual business, I have not relied on team members enough. In my old business, I had two offices, one for the magazine and franchise company and one for the real estate company and mortgages. And I found it very easy to walk and talk, do the management and leadership of the organizations when the people were right in front of me. And although I have used a lot of team members since I went virtual, I have not been as effective. And so that's definitely a mistake. In the last year, I've worked very hard to rely more on my team members. But it's something that I still have to do. So much of this is so easy for me and I can do it. And I know that how I want things. And so I do tinker a little too much under the hood with our different systems. And that's something that I just need to continue to rely on my team.
I think we could, I'm actually sitting here going, we could stop right there and say that is a valuable piece of advice for everybody. Because I know people like me, I mean, I had offices and I could walk in, tell people what I wanted to do and everything got done. When I went to virtual support, I used to require Nicole, my assistant, to reach out to me to remind me that I had to get in touch with her. Because when they're not in front of you, you forget. And when you have had a life of getting things done, delegating to what I call the invisible support or the virtual support is hard to do. And I think people, if they listen to what you just said, will learn a lot. Thank you. That's great. What is it that gives you the motivation to keep going? What is it that is your source of inspiration?
Well, my my vision, my mission is to empower and inspire millions of people around the globe. Now, because I work with speakers who inspire and empower people, I see myself as sort of a miracle grow that I can help them get their message out. So I know I'm solving pain points of theirs, that they are getting lost in the noise. They're not able to stand out in all the clutter. And so by helping them stand out, get clear on what their mission is, get clear on what they're working to accomplish, then I'm helping more people. It's a ripple effect. So I help my circle and the people who are in our bronze, gold, silver, and VIP programs. And then they're able to help more people. So I see these waves of helping people, and it does get me excited, and I enjoy it a lot.
Awesome. I think everybody needs to have something to wake up to. If you could roll back and give advice to a teenage version of yourself, what advice would you give yourself looking back on your life going, here's the one thing I wish I knew then?
Well, I would say follow your heart. And when those decisions come up that seem very difficult, use your heart more than your brain to make those decisions. I think for the most part I've done that, but I could certainly have done it a little bit more.
And I'm just thinking, as you say, you've done it, but you could have done it more. I think that explains a lot of what we do. I guess where the gap is, as I'm asking these questions, is when you say you could have done it more, can you give us an idea of a challenge you faced where you didn't follow your heart and you wish you had?
Well, now that you mention it, I can't think.
We can come back to it. I just figured I had to ask because the way you said it, I'm like, I want to grab onto that. That could be a learning experience. Well, let's move on. You have that in the back of your head. And if you don't answer it now, someday we'll corner you at Cigar Peg and go, we want that answer. Who has been your biggest supporter or role model throughout your career?
Well, certainly since I met him, my partner, fiance, and love of my life, Terry Brock. He's just a great inspiration. It's wonderful to be able to live with him and see how he runs his life and in such integrity and such discipline that he's just such a marvelous human being. And he has so many bright ideas. So when I met him so many years ago, I was just amazed with all that he knew. And we were both very much into marketing and technology and these sorts of things. And so to ultimately be involved with him now as I am, and to have lived with him now for the past 13 years, it's been remarkable. So I would say that he has been definitely my biggest source of inspiration and role model.
Bravo and lovable shout out to Terry. Let me move on to, as you're consulting with thought leaders and working with them, what have you found to be the biggest myth that people think about being a thought leader? What the biggest myth or the biggest misconception people have that you have to set straight?
I think one of the biggest myths is that they feel like they have to have everything perfect before they start rolling things out. So they don't do a workshop, even a virtual workshop, because they're not confident that they know enough. So in the thought leader business, to a great extent, you just need to know a little bit more. Some people will say 10% more. Some people will use the analogy of you're like a fifth grader to a third grader. You're, when you're in third grade, the fifth graders were like gods. They knew everything, but of course they didn't know everything, but to a third grader. And so I think that people hold themselves back because they feel like they don't have all the answers, and they don't want to come out looking stupid. And because they don't have all the answers, they don't even launch their workshop. They don't launch, go after the speaking engagements. They don't put themselves out there for interviews just like this.
So
I think that's big.
Yeah. Just grab onto who you are and run with it. That's what people need to do. That's a fantastic piece of advice. Do you consider yourself to be successful?
Yes, I do. And that's because I'm a pretty happy person. I definitely think that success is very, very much aligned with happiness. I decided that at a young age, that was going to be part of my definition of success, is am I happy? And I'm a very happy person. Do I have down days and bad days? Yes, absolutely. It rains just like it does in nature. And every now and then it's a hurricane or a lightning storm. It's pretty bad. But overall, most every day, I'm very happy. I'm very optimistic. And I love life. I love people. I love interacting with people. And I love that I get to do that even virtually. Although I didn't see people during the COVID lockdown, I still was able to interact with people all around the world through Zoom, and it really worked for me.
When I interview people, I'm always fascinated by finding out what they see as success, and you've answered that. But you also just said something which was interesting to me. You said you realized at a young age it was about being happy. That realization, talk about that for a minute, because some people don't grasp that. They're counting dollars, they're counting gigs. What did you realize about success at a young age and happiness? How did that all feel for you?
I remember 10th grade was a very transformative period in my life. And I think I was taking a class on psychology, and that really opened my mind to a lot of interesting concepts. And I came across a poem in 10th grade that really marked my life. I can't remember the title of it right now, but the last words are, "Do not wait until it's over and he's underneath the clover, for he cannot read his tombstone when he's dead." And that was a foundational philosophy for me to remember to tell people, to give people compliments in real time. Don't just hold them, and to put good vibes and good words out into the world. So to me, that's where thinking of what is success? What does it mean to be successful? And I think that giving happiness to other people or sharing happiness with other people makes me more happy. And that's just what I decided would be one of my main criteria for a successful life.
That's awesome. And that's what people need to do. And I hope that as people listen to some of the members of Cigar Peg, we do have a very large number of successful people. And I think that people can learn that we sometimes are too hard on ourselves and we just need to be happy. So thank you, Gina. And it's funny, I'm going to ask the question because as I ask it, it's what tool do you always carry in your toolbox that you know you can go back to at any given moment and it will get you through everything?
Boy, you sure ask a lot of thought-provoking questions here.
It's my problem. It's what happens when you have a former trial lawyer cross-examining people in a podcast.
I think it would be the philosophy that tomorrow is another day, and that, you know, the old sun will come out tomorrow. And I think it's in Gone with the Wind that that Scarlett O'Hara says something to that effect, that, you know, there's always tomorrow, or tomorrow is another day. My mother had that philosophy, and And I think I mainly got that from her, that even when things look dark and very bad, that this too shall pass, and another and more good things will come right around the corner.
So Scarlett O'Hara, after all, tomorrow is another day. Currently in your life, I mean, I know you're happy. I know you're excited about what you're doing, but if all of a sudden you were to wake up tomorrow and hit the lottery and have $1 billion, what would you do with your life?
I think I would do some form of what I'm doing now. I really do love coaching and helping people, mainly in the group settings. I prefer group settings versus one-on-one coaching for the most part. So I like bringing people together, building the community, helping people align with the vision of whatever the mission is that we're all there together to do. And then coaching and encouraging, empowering and inspiring. I think I would do that. I also think I would start an organization that would give out small donations or small scholarships to different entities. So I'm very passionate about a number of things, including animal welfare and plant-based living. People aren't learning more about plant-based nutrition and that sort of thing. And so I would try to find organizations that if this organization had an extra $1,000 or so, that it would really help it to get more organized and to bring more people into whatever the mission it's doing. So I would plant these seeds financially with groups that are already doing things that I believe in and think are great. And I would try to make it a little bit easier for them by having a little bit of extra money.
Bravo. Bravo. Let me get a personal question with you, which is, and I say personal because it's personal. What time of day do you get your best work done?
Yeah, we get up at 4, and I usually go to the gym most every day. That's right down the road, and have some fantastic classes. And so then later, work-wise, the 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. period is when I really focus on my quiet block of working on things. I don't take meetings until after 11 generally, and I don't do classes until after 11 generally. So the 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. block is pretty good for me.
Awesome. You get along with my wife. She's one of those early birds. I wake up at 4 o'clock, think about the gym, and go back to bed. I'm a night owl. I'll work until 3 a.m. What would you say is the single most important value that drives Gina Carr?
I think generosity. In fact, I was just thinking earlier today, something about somebody calls me Generous Gina. And I think generosity probably is it. I do really try to help people, whether they're compensating me with money or not. I know that being in this business, you can only be just so generous. You have to collect the money to be able to buy those tomatoes and apples over at the grocery store and pay the mortgage. But I think generosity.
Got it. Nope. That's a nice one. And that fits. The I guess I'm going to ask a last question, which is, if you could try any other occupation on earth, is there one where you went, oh my gosh, I wish I had done that?
Oh boy, that's a really good one.
And it could be just something where you thought as a child, I wish I could have done this and not done it. Or as an adult, saw somebody do something and said, I wish I could try that.
I'll tell you something that I would like to have done a few years back for a period of time, probably would be to be a scuba dive instructor.
There you go.
On a liveaboard, probably, or something like that. I used to do liveaboard scuba diving. I was very serious scuba diver in my late 20s, early 30s. And so to have done that professionally for a year would have been probably a real fun thing to do.
It's a beautiful insight. Thank you. So Gina, as people in Cigar Peg are looking and they want to get a hold of you, they want to talk to you, what's the best way to reach Gina Carr?
The best way is probably through my main website, gina@ginacarr.com. Just ginacarr.com is the website. Email is gina@ginacarr.com if folks would like to contact me there. And Facebook and LinkedIn, I'm very easy to find. And so those are great channels for me.
Well, and I want to thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciated having you here. Glad you could be here. And I look forward to seeing you at your place in Orlando and enjoying ourselves at NSA. So well, Gina, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
And that was Gina Carr in the Cigar Lounge. And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.